We are going to be talking with the director of the Ray C. Bliss Institute of Applied Politics. Dr. Sherry Strachan is on the line with us. And what she's going to be talking to us about today is about women and young voters. She says they're the key as the Biden administration moves ahead, and that that may help the Democrats going forward. All right. Good morning. How are you? Hello, Dr. Strachan. Are you with us?
Hello, this is Cherie Strachan.
Okay. I'm sorry. I mispronounced your name. So
I'm used to it.
Okay. All right. So I was interested to hear that you have a prediction about women and young voters. And the reason that I was so interested, you know, right before the midterms, I saw this really interesting conversation with Michael Moore, the filmmaker. And he was saying, you know, so many of the pundits are saying that economics are going to be the determining factor. He said, but don't discount women and don't discount their displeasure with what the Supreme Court did. And indeed, that's how it played out around the country. What do you think?
I think that that was true. Part of the reason pollsters were reluctant was that young women, in particular 18 to 29-year-olds, were the ones, at least in the exit polls, that were saying that they prioritized reproductive care as their most important issue. But that age group has historically not turned out consistently. So I think, you know, the older you got, the more people were claiming inflation. The younger you got, more people were claiming reproductive care. And I think the pollsters were unwilling to weight those 18 to 29-year-old women as likely voters.
Because historically they hadn't been, right?
Right. Because historically, 18 to 29-year-olds, this is the they turned out at 27%, according to exit polls in these midterms. And the only time they voted at that high of a rate in a midterm was 2018. They have not consistently showed up.
But what about older women? I mean, older women care about reproductive rights as well.
Yes. And so, of course, older women turned out. There were increase and upticks in registering to vote across the states, including Ohio, and women were making up post-Dobbs after that result came down. And, you know, women were registering to vote at higher rates and turnout, but the intensity of turning out a block of voters, especially in such tight races where, you know, 2% or so forth, it does seem that young women in particular are most motivated by this issue.
I see. So, but overall, you think that women are going to be the key going forward in 2024?
I think it's really hard in these tight races to ignore ignore people who are prioritizing this issue. And, you know, if they're going to turn into likely voters, we have to anticipate that they're going to show up and that they're going to vote. And this issue is not going anywhere. We're going to see this access to abortion being played out in state after state. It's going to be in the media. It's going to be hard-fought battles in places where there aren't already constitutional amendments or, you know, other rules on the books there where it's sort of been decided. So it's just going to keep being pushed into the forefront. And politicians are going to have answers. It's not going to go away. It will help shape 2024.
You know, what's interesting here in Ohio in the past month, there's been two major groups that have announced that they're going to put a ballot initiative on to before voters coming up in the next year to protect reproductive rights. At the same time, a group of Republican legislators and our own Republican Secretary of State, Frank LaRose, is pushing then for another initiative that would make it harder to actually approve ballot initiatives. So you've got one group that wants to get something on the books, another group that wants to make it harder for them to do so. What's your prediction on that?
I think that It's possible that the, you know, that the increase for getting this on the ballot initiative will happen. If it happens, the rates that those ballot initiatives, if they're handled outside of a regular election, if the only thing people are going to vote on is a constitutional ballot initiative outside of a big midterm where there are other, you know, inflation or other things to vote on, they tend to pass at higher rates. What would happen in Ohio, we'd have to wait and see. But it would certainly still be possible that it could pass a passing constitutional ballot initiative passed to protect access to reproductive care in Kansas, which is pretty red. So I think it's possible that it could happen here.
Right. I mean, what was of concern to me is, again, what's going through the legislature. Now, they didn't pass it before the Christmas break, but they say they are going to come back and try to make it so that if people put something on the ballot, that instead of it being able to be passed with 50% plus one vote or whatever it is, just over 50%, now they want to make it so that it has to be 60%. Have you heard of those kinds of moves in other states, and have they been successful? People willingly giving up essentially their rights to vote to a certain degree.
Sure. Well, not all states even have direct votes on ballot initiatives. So, and the states that have them will have various level of requirements of voting to amend the Constitution. So it's not completely unheard of. And there's been a movement to do that prior to this issue in Ohio that just wasn't getting as much publicity, which, of course, it's getting publicity now because people see it directly affecting an issue that's prominent and catching our attention that people care on both sides intensely about. So it's not completely unheard of, but you can understand why people in Ohio see a change happening that they feel is detracting from their ability to have influence. So you can also understand, you know, why some people might be upset about that.
Well, yeah. I mean, what I thought was interesting was a quote that I remember from the Secretary of State, Frank LaRose, saying, you know, we need to do this because it's just these special interest groups that are trying to get these things through on the ballot. And in my mind, I'm thinking, well, everybody's a special, you know what I mean? It's like if you're putting something on the ballot, it's because you're a special interest group. It's not like this is new.
Right, exactly. In order to get something on the ballot, you have to, you know, you have to get signatures, you have to raise money, you have to have advertisements so people understand the language. Anybody that's going to do it is, you know, you can do it with grassroots, but you also have to raise some money and spend it. So anyone that's trying to do these things can be perceived as caring about a particular interest enough to get organized.
Right. You know, I mean, so I guess the point being that, you know, putting a pejorative on a special interest, it's like, well, if it's your interest, you know, it's special to you, but saying that it's only special interest groups and that's somehow bad just kind of smacked of unfair politicking to me.
And I think that happens on both sides, right? When it's your interest, it's the public interest. When it's someone else's interest, it's a special interest.
Absolutely.
Framing. So, it's all framing.
It is, isn't it? So we're going to be wrapping up in just a minute here. Just if you had to wrap this up in terms of your prediction then about women being key, what would you say?
About women being, pardon me?
About being key, women and young voters being the key in the future.
Oh, yeah. Voting is habitual, and we've seen young voters, 18 to, you know, they spiked up interest and turnout in 2018. They spiked up interest in voting in the last presidential election, and here they are again. They are not going away, and in particular, young women, 44% of 18 to 29-year-old women now identify as liberal, and in this last midterm, 72% of them, because of reproductive rights and those sorts of issues, 72% broke for Democrats.
All right.
And once you vote in two elections and you identify who you are, you know, and vote in primaries and things, it's you typically keep showing up. So they're not going to go away, and we'll continue to have a voice in elections.